exploring the intersection of politics, science, culture, and history from a secular perspective. It's Secular Yakking with Robert and Tom, the dynamic duo of obscure secular media.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We have returned again a day late.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, our bad.
I don't know if I'm apologizing for being a day late or for just returning.
Well, either way.
I know. Either way. Sorry, guys.
So we have Tom with us again, obviously. And we also have Carrie with us again. So, and then we have me, Robert, which I'm always here. So, because the show doesn't work without me for some odd reason.
Right.
This is true. No one would know how to operate all the fancy computer stuff.
Nope.
Yeah, it's just like three buttons.
That's more buttons than I can handle. If it was me, it would just be 20 minutes of me fumbling with like Facebook Live.
Well, yes. I think we saw that once.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, on with the show.
Yeah.
We have a Twitter follower, and it is Ethel Fisher, a Twitter follower this week.
We're getting closer to our goal of having negative.
Uh-huh, indeed.
That's true.
I'm all about that. Yeah. I feel like maybe at least 1 week should be negative Twitter followers.
I think we might have done that once, but that was before I started really tracking Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Like up and down, up and down. Especially when you have like four, you really notice it. But when you get more, it's kind of harder to notice.
Yeah. Yeah. I broke 200 followers on my Twitter yesterday.
Sweet.
Ooh, congrats.
I was so excited. Yeah, it like sent me a little notification and everything. And I was like, oh, that makes my day.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I did some stuff this week.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. I was on two other podcasts.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was cheating on you guys.
Oh, can't believe it.
I know. So I was on Secular Stories, which came out Monday. And I was on Celador Skeptics, which was live yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about the Original Motto Project, mostly. I did get a chance on both shows to talk about this show, though, because they're podcasters and they like to know about other podcasters.
Well, then I forgive you.
All right, fine.
Thanks for the invite to go on there and talk about the Original Motto Project, Robert. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Actually, I talked to him. We're going to get you on next time.
Yay.
So, because Celador Skeptics want me back on, and I said, hey, we should probably bring Tom on as well. Well, I couldn't bring you on yesterday because you were indisposed.
I was indisposed. What was I doing yesterday?
You told me you were on a date or something.
Ooh.
No, wait, that was Monday, wasn't it?
That was Monday. I was on a date Monday.
Oh, I couldn't do it because I was doing the thing.
Yeah, it was you.
It was me. Wow. That, that's
and then I couldn't do it Monday because I was on a date.
Right.
So. In case everyone's wondering, my date went well.
Oh.
Well, that's good.
We're certainly glad to hear that.
Yay. Go me.
Go you. So, anybody else have any stories, anything they want to talk about before we get into the news?
No.
No? Okay. All right. So, we have a Potter update, or as I like to call it, he ain't going to rain no more.
Ha.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thanks for the laugh. I know I'm funny, but.
We need another, like, sound clip, like a wah wah.
Yeah, I
may have whenever to. He makes one of his jokes.
All right, yeah. I'll put that in the soundboard. All right, fine.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore has been permanently suspended without pay. While it's not the same as being officially removed from office, it is effectively the same. Moore won the Potter Award way back in episode 8 for his stance on equal marriage ruling and the ordering of clerks not to issue marriage license in Alabama. You guys remember that?
I do remember this.
Do you remember us talking about that, Carrie?
No.
No? Okay.
Typical teenager.
I don't even think she listens to the show, so.
Yeah, not really.
Anyway, we did talk about it several times. In fact, I checked my archives. I've talked about him no less than 5 times. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a real peach, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
That would be Georgia. I don't know what they do in Alabama.
I would say,
or something.
I was just about to say, if only he was from Georgia, that would make that much worked. Better.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, according to the Court of Judiciary, Judiciary, Moore's administrative order represented a failure to follow clear law and a failure to uphold the integrity and independence of the judiciary. Why do they have to use that word so many times?
To mess you up, obviously.
I got it one more time. The Court of the Judiciary found that Moore interpreted the law in a manner that was incomplete, misleading, and manipulative. It said Moore substituted his judgment for the judgment of the entire Alabama Supreme Court on a substantive legal issue in a case pending in that court. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So he got the smackdown. I'm assuming this is on his. This was on the. I wasn't listening either. I pulled a carry.
Yeah, I was zoning out the first time.
The cat.
Talking.
The cat is like trying to bite me again.
So this was in regards to his order to the court clerks not to order same-sex marriage license.
Oh yeah.
Like good. The day after the Supreme Court ruling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which well, I'm glad.
Which
good.
What earned
Screw
him
that guy.
Part of what earned him the Potter Award. Is not his first legal issue and not the first time getting kicked off the bench.
Mm.
He
no,
got
really?
Kicked off the bench from 2002, I think it was, for refusing to remove the Ten Commandments from his courtroom. Huh. And he was a Supreme Court justice then.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well then.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, the problem is the Supreme Court justice, not Supreme Court, but the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court is an elected position. So it's highly likely he could get reelected.
Wait, they elect their Supreme Court justices?
Yes.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I'm really... A lot of places elect judges, but it's...
Yeah,
it's
but not Supreme Court judges.
Right, those are generally appointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. But I would like to say that this is good news, and technically it is, but he announced his intention of running for governor in the next election. The day after this news came out.
Well then.
Oh, he's going to play the persecuted Christian card so hard.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm. That's how he's been doing it for the last 20 years anyway. And he's going to take the martyr's path and probably win in Alabama.
Nice.
Yeah. He's already released part of his platform.
Oh, good.
And it sounds a lot like the start of a theocracy, which is interesting.
Well mm-hmm. It's Alabama.
Yeah. Part of that is defend the right of every person, include teachers, judges, state and county municipal offices, to publicly acknowledge God as the moral foundation of law and liberty and government.
Ugh.
Oppose gambling, pornography, and same-sex marriage, and secure God-given inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property. Unless you're same-sex marriage people.
Or if you like porn and gambling.
Yeah, you don't get those other rights.
So his platform is basically no fun.
Yeah, no fun.
Yeah.
Like that last thing, inalienable rights, life, liberty, and property, like those aren't necessarily bad things to secure. Maybe the property thing if you lean socialist, but he's got to have the God-given part in there, huh?
Yeah, got to have that.
Always.
Yeah. Well, one of the strangest things that he proposes is that the legislature only meet every 2 years.
Why what? Only two
So
years?
The people that make the laws in the state of Alabama, he only wants to meet them to meet every 2 years. And for limited sessions, right? They're already only in there for like 3-4 months at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he wants them to meet every 2 years now. And here's why. He says he feels safer when the legislature is not in session.
Like safer in his job?
I guess. He just said safer. I don't know what he meant. There's no real context around it.
Huh. Interesting.
So yeah, he wants people who make laws not to meet to make laws.
This is really appealing to, like, the anti-government, like, the government take our rights. That's what that's appealing
exactly,
to.
Exactly, because he thinks that, especially the federal government, is infringing on his rights to be a bigoted ass.
Right.
So.
Did you just swear on the show?
I can say ass. It's allowed.
But, so really what he wants is to be, like, the king of Alabama for 2 years.
Right. Yeah. That's what he wants.
Well, that'll be interesting to follow that.
Yeah.
Like, but in order to do that, they'd probably have to amend their constitution.
Yeah. So legislatures can make their own rules when they meet. They just have certain requirements of when they have to meet. So I haven't read the Alabama Constitution, so it may say that they only have to meet every 2 years, but it's convenient for them to meet every year because that's in a lot of stuff. Because so like if you take like the House,
right?
They only have to convene every 2 years. But they meet every day.
Uh-huh.
Technically. Some constitutional person can probably correct me on that, but that's my understanding of it. That they're required to meet every 2 years. That's why we have elections every 2 years.
Yep.
I did not know that. Well, that'll be interesting to... There's no way the legislature is going to let him do that.
No.
They'll be like, yeah, no, dude.
No. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. It'll be funny, though. I kind of hope he does win the governor race. That way we have stuff to talk about.
Oh, there'll be no shortage of that.
That's true.
He might get another Potter Award. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
If he
you
does
get one,
win.
One as judge, one as governor.
Maybe.
I like it.
Yeah, that might be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Looking for something new and exciting, or maybe just a change from the old atheist show format? Cellar Door Skeptics Podcast provides listeners with hours of enjoyment each week on Spreaker and iTunes. Check us out as we talk politics, religion, science, reviews of books and music, along with the occasional interview just for a twist. Join Christopher Tanner and Chris Hanna every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern as they bring fresh content to you. Walk with us through the cellar door as we help you prepare for the revolution. You can find us on Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, and even on Facebook.
Now on to sports. So the Chess World Championship will be held in Iran in 2017 because somebody had a total lapse of judgment. And the women competing will be required by Iranian law to wear a hijab. If they do not, they will face fines and arrest if they don't wear the traditional head covering. The hijab is a veil traditionally worn by Muslim women in the presence of adult males outside their immediate family, which usually covers the head, chest. Some people wear a face covering.
Right.
But the current U.S. champion, and I hope I'm going to pronounce this right, Nazi Padkize? Pykize?
I think that's close enough.
I didn't want to say Nazi. So, says she will not wear one. In fact, she's willing to risk her career on it. She's going to boycott the game. She said, I will not wear a hijab and support women's oppression, even if it means missing one of the most important competitions of my career.
And I think that deserves a round of applause right there.
Indeed.
I forgot to put one on the thing, so we'll have to.
Yeah. So this gets a little worse, though. Oh. When she brought her objections to the head of the Women's Chess Committee, Susan Polgar, she was told simply to go along with it and respect cultural differences. Polgar even went as far to praise the, quote, beautiful choices of fabric that she could pick her hijab from.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
So this is just ridiculous. I mean, it's full on oppression. Uh-huh. It's requiring people who don't have that religious belief to follow a religious belief. I don't care how cultural it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and usually like host countries are like, you kind of like give people some slack. You know what I mean? You don't.
Right.
Oh yeah. Come to our country and you have to follow our ridiculous rules about hats.
Yeah.
Like,
because that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The last part of that where Polgar is basically saying, oh, just go along with it. And you look at all these beautiful choices of fabric. It reminds me of this time that Christopher Hitchens was on the Australian TV show Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who haven't seen it, just Google Christopher Hitchens Q&A. It's awesome. And they were talking about the hijab in Iran. He was basically saying about how it represents, you know, oppression of women and so forth. And somebody in the audience actually said that it wasn't oppressive because, you know, sometimes they could wear a little one and show part of their hair. And so they got to choose what size of hijab they wore and what type of fabric they wore. And Christopher Hitchens in true Hitchens fashion just basically shut her down.
Yeah.
But she didn't really know how to answer the question, like, well, what would happen if you didn't wear a hijab?
Right. Like, I think I remember this vaguely.
Yeah. It's really good. Just Google it. Yeah. You can find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. That kind of sounds like, you know, allowing the slave to pick which whip they're going to get hit with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're being oppressed. How would you like for me to oppress you?
Uh-huh. Right.
Just because you get a choice doesn't mean it's not oppression.
Right. And forcing people who are here for an international competition to do this. It's not like, you know, this woman's going there on vacation.
Right.
You know, that's one thing.
Yeah, it's not like she has a job there and she's going to be there for 2 years.
Right.
Right.
Even then, I would say, you know, you don't have to follow these religious rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
she's going to an international competition that's just being held there. And whose idea was this?
Well,
to hold this women's chess competition in a place that oppresses women.
I don't know. That seems like a horrible idea.
Uh-huh.
Like, was Kabul not available?
Well, what's interesting is they're supposed to wear it around men, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they allow their men and women to sports together.
I think they would.
For this. Wasn't chess invented in Iran?
Yeah, I think it's an Arabic thing. Well Iran is technically Arabic. Persian.
They're
sorry.
Persian.
I know. I tried to correct myself sooner than you.
Yeah. All right, I'm here for you. But
that's what he's here for.
That's my sole function. That and the history thing every 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, good on her. I'm glad she was basically like, screw this. And she's bringing attention to it. And I think more attention needs to be brought.
There was a Twitter conversation between her and this Susan Polgar person. Susan and the Polgar woman told her that she shouldn't bring this out on Twitter. That she should take this internally.
Yeah, I saw that. And she said she did.
Yeah. So nothing happened. So yeah, that's why she took Twitter, it public.
Yeah, and now Twitter is giving it plenty of attention. So
which it should.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think all the women should protest.
Indeed.
I think they should boycott it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who goes to a chess competition to watch anyway? That sounds so boring.
Murray Head.
Who?
Murray Head. You older folks will get that. Just look up One Night in Bangkok. Song.
I'm not going to do it. We both know. I'm so bad with pop culture references.
No, I mean it. Look up One Night in Bangkok. Song. Make sure it's not a video. That may be bad.
All right, noted.
Carrie's just sitting here staring at me.
What?
And with that,
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
I think considering the debate this weekend, during the VP contenders, gave our winner that little extra something he needed to finally earn him the prestigious Mr. Potter Award. Wow, that went weird.
Whoa.
This week, it goes to Indiana Governor Mike Pence.
Oh.
Should we do the clap for him?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. So what brought my... So aside from him being the vice presidential candidate for Donald Trump... He's not much better. I think he may be a little worse.
I agree.
Yeah, during the debate, there was one question that really caught my attention, and it was a question on faith. The moderator said, "Can you discuss in detail a time when you struggled to balance your personal faith with public policy position?" Now, Tim Kaine is Clinton's running mate, was spot on for what we want. He told how he was personally and religiously against the death penalty, but as governor of Virginia, a state with a death penalty, he had to uphold the law and allow it to go on. Which I thought was an excellent answer. It showed that he respects the separation of church and state.
Right.
That he's not going to use his religious beliefs to impose it on others. Right? Mm-hmm. However, Pence's answer was a little different.
Oh.
And this is a direct quote. "But my Christian faith became real for me when I made a personal decision for Christ when I was a freshman in college. And I've tried to live that out, however imperfectly, every day of my life since. And with my wife at my side, we followed a calling into public service where we've tried to keep faith with the values that we cherish." But then he goes on to talk about abortion. Now, remember, the question was about what was the question? How you balance personal faith with a public policy position, right?
Right.
He says, and this is how he opposes abortion. He says, "But for me, I will tell you that for me, the sanctity of life proceeds out of the belief that that ancient principle that where God says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And so for my first time in public life, I sought to stand with great compassion for the sanctity of life. So for me, my faith informs my life. I try to spend a little time on my knees every day, but it all for me begins with cherishing the dignity and worth of the value of every human life." So first off, this always bothers me for politicians. I don't care who they are. They don't answer the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question.
But it does answer the question, technically, okay? Because he answered it by saying, "My faith takes precedent over my policymaking."
Yeah.
Or he says it informs his policymaking.
Right. Well, if you look at, this is why he got the Potter Award, is some of the other stuff that he's done, not just this one thing.
Uh-huh.
Right? But I think this starts laying the groundwork for why I started looking a little deeper into it. I knew a lot about it before this, but... So, Kaine obviously supports separation of church and state, and Pence obviously will not at all.
Right. Right. We knew that already, though, with Mike Pence. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm not done with him just yet.
Oh.
Okay. Last year, he signed one of the most anti-LGBT laws in the nation as governor of Indiana, a law so bad they had to go back and fix it.
Really?
Yeah. Indiana's original Religious Freedom Restoration Act, would have allowed any individual or corporation to cite religious beliefs as a defense when sued by a private party for discrimination. Private party. The fix added protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. So, if you remember, like, the cases of the gay wedding cake or the flowers from Washington, and in Indiana, that stupid pizza parlor that answered a question stupidly.
What was the pizza parlor?
So right after they made this law, some weirdo reporter went to middle of nowhere Indiana and asked a pizza parlor, would you cater a gay wedding? And the owner said no. And then everything just kind of went blah on this poor little pizza parlor who answered a question.
Nice.
Right? So they ended up
Don't be a bigot.
Yeah. So they ended up having a GoFundMe because all their business got shut down, and it's just this huge mess. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And all because some dumb reporter asked a dumb question to someone who had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Anyway, that's off track.
We're trying to take a big detour there.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same subject, but off track. So anyway, this law would have allowed businesses to legally discriminate against same-sex people and transgender people, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what RFRA does now. They've destroyed RFRA to such a point that it no longer does what it originally intended it to do.
Yeah.
Which was to protect people from the federal government imposing on their actual religious practices.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we're not done with him yet. In 2007, the House was, and this is the Congress, the House, was working on a bill that would change the definition of hate crime to include perceived sexual orientation. So this was after the Matthew Shepard murder, where he was killed because he was gay.
Right.
And as a representative for Indiana's 6th District, Pence attempted to add an amendment that read, "Nothing in this section limits the religious freedom of any person or group under the Constitution." He said it was to ensure that religious leaders and institutions didn't self-censor themselves for fear of being blamed for inciting a hate crime, and the measures could inhibit freedom of speech and deter religious leaders from discussing their views on homosexuality for fear those publicly expressed views might be linked to later assaults. Did you catch that?
Yeah, because they would be.
Yeah, exactly.
like if you tell people, hey, God wants you to hate everybody, and you're like, okay, like telling, like, you're responsible for that, for instilling that belief in people.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm about to go like full anti-theist on this. Keep going. It's fine.
Yeah. So the problem with this, the way it was originally worded, the amendment, it was so vague that it would allow anyone who did a crime to avoid the federal penalty of hate crime. They would still get indicted for the actual crime they did, whatever it was, but they wouldn't be considered a hate crime because they could say, well, it was religiously motivated, which means lesser sentencing and local trials, which a lot of times, if in some local situations, you could probably get off with just a slap on the wrist, depending on what you did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jesus wants you to hate gay people.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So luckily his amendment did not get on there. So hate crime is a hate crime.
Uh-huh.
But an interesting note on this, the Thomas More Law Center, and for those that don't know, Thomas More Law Center is a specifically Christian defense organization. They only defend Christian issues.
Right.
They sued the government stating the sole purpose of this law is to criminalize the Bible and use the threat of federal prosecution and long jail sentences to silence Christians from expressing their biblically based religious belief that homosexual conduct is a sin. Exactly. It's to make sure that you're not expressing hate in a way that can be construed and then taken to make a crime.
Well, it's to make sure you're not inciting violence.
Well, but
like, they're basically saying we don't want to be responsible for the things we say. We want to be able to say it, but we don't want any of the responsibility that comes along with
it. Right. And what they're saying by this lawsuit, by the way, it tells me that they know what they're saying is hateful and can incite violence.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's what that lawsuit told me.
Yeah.
They wanted the law that told them they were being hateful to go away.
Right.
Because then people would know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I have even more.
Oh, man.
Because I always have more.
Don't you always?
Yes, I do. In 2002, while speaking to the House about a paleontological find that placed a skull of a human ancestor back a few million years, more than it already had been, We're talking like 7 million years on this one. He lamented that now the textbooks would have to be changed, and the old theory of evolution, and this is a quote, the old theory of evolution taught for 77 years in the classroom of America as fact is suddenly replaced by a new theory. Or I hasten to add, I am sure we will be told a new fact. So the old theory of evolution.
That's how science works.
Yeah, the old theory of evolution is now has to be replaced by a new theory of evolution because we have more facts on it. Is what he said.
A, that's not how the theory of evolution works. It's still the same theory.
Yeah.
It's just there's just new pieces to the puzzle.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure, they might have to rewrite textbooks, but not right now. We can wait till the next cycle. Yeah. Not a big deal.
I'm sure we won't need to worry about it in Texas anyway.
Well, he's from Indiana, but whatever. But close Texas enough. Probably writes Indiana's textbooks, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, a lot of the curriculum companies pander to Texas.
Anyway, he goes on to say, and this is a quote, The truth is, it was always a theory, Mr. Speaker. And now that we have recognized evolution as a theory, I would simply and humbly ask, can we teach it as such? And can we also consider teaching other theories of the origin of species?
Yeah, sure. When you have one.
Well,
be careful using the word theory.
Well, he's using the theory in the typical Christian creationist way.
Oh, I know what he's saying. Yeah. I'm just saying, I would be like, yes, you can.
when you can trump it up as a scientific theory.
Two can play semantics.
And then he topped it all off with this ginormous whopper. I believe that God created the known universe, the earth, and everything in it, including man. And I also believe that someday scientists will come to see that the theory of intelligent design provides even a remotely rational explanation for the known universe.
Huh. Well, since he believes it, I'm convinced.
Obviously, because, he never lies at all.
In case people can't tell, I'm feeling really snarky tonight.
That's fine.
I've had a lot of snarky comments.
So, yeah, these are the reasons I decided to give Mike Pence the Mr. Potter Award this week.
I can't believe he hasn't got one already.
Yeah, he didn't catch my
eye. He could have been having them for years.
Well, he could have, but,
he's like the MVP of Potter Awards.
No, I'm saving that for the big one. I haven't found that one yet. I have some ideas, though.
Worse than Mike Pence?
Oh, well, maybe.
Mm. Well, we should have a Potter Awards playoffs.
We should.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was the worst ever?
That would be a good thing for episode 100.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing for episode 100, which is coming up
in 30 weeks. 30 weeks.
30 weeks, folks.
A little more than half a year.
Yeah. So we got this.
Yeah.
Can totally get there.
We can get to 100.
Oh, yeah.
Should
I
be
believe
able to.
In us.
Yeah.
I believe in
us. I have faith.
I believe.
In us.
I believe in at least 2/3 of us.
That means one of us is not going to make it. Is this like Survivor, who gets voted off?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
since Secular Yacking Redemption Island.
Well, since you guys can't hit the buttons, I get to stay.
Oh.
Okay, that's a good point. Between me and you, Carrie.
Dang. Spite to the death.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all the yacking I got. You guys?
Don't forget next week.
Next week?
Next week. Is it next week or the week after?
A week and a half from now, from this recording. We're going to be in California, Sacramento, right?
Yeah, we're going to be up in Sacramento, me and Robert, not Carrie.
Yeah.
We'll be up there on the 16th for California Free Thought Day. So if you're in the Sacramento area, come out and say hi to us. There's going to be a bunch of cool people there.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're going to be doing the show from our hotel.
Probably. I'm going to bring some gear.
Yeah. And we're going to try to get some cool interviews.
Yeah. Because I've always wanted to do a couple of these interviews, see if we can get them. That'd be awesome.
Yes.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So that's it.
On that note, goodbye, people of the internet.
Well, we got one more thing to do. We got to give out our contact info. I mean, you can't just say,
oh, yeah.
You can't say
you
goodbye.
You didn't put that in the notes.
Well, sorry.
It's your fault.
So, Tom, your contact info?
Oh, I'm Tom. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at TCEssel. You can email me at tom@secularyacking.com or find me on Facebook. Search for Thomas Essel, and I'll pop up in there and you can find me.
Okay.
Oh, and next week is my history segment. and I'm going to be talking about Christopher Columbus because Columbus Day is coming up.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that because we all love Columbus.
Oh, don't we all?
He's the best.
Carrie.
All right.
You can't see if you can get it right this time without me writing it down.
All right, I'll try to remember it. So my Twitter is at krnightmares, and you can find me.
Email?
My email. You can find my email, which is...
She's Carrie at secular.
Yeah, it's Carrie at secularyacking.com.
Yeah. It's not like I made it easy for you. It uses your name.
I know.
All right, I guess it's my
turn. It's your turn, Robert.
It is my turn. So you can find me on Twitter at the Motto Guy, specifically. You can...
Hold up. We need to talk about that for a second.
What?
You just now followed, like today, while I was at work. I got a notification that you followed me on Twitter.
Well, you hadn't followed me.
Okay. That's no, fine.
No, I haven't been on the Motto Guy for a while. You know, I go to it, but I haven't really done a whole lot with it besides just retweeting things. And I was going through.
For those who don't know, Robert has 37 Twitter accounts.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at my suggested followers, right? Or suggested to follow. And I went, there's Tom. I thought I followed him. And I'm like, oh crap, I better follow him real quick.
Good job.
So yeah, there you go. Well, at least I followed you. Did I put That's you over true. 200? Was I the one?
No, you're like number 202, I think.
Anyway, at the Motto Guy, right?
Yeah.
You can email me, Robert at secularyacking.com. I did that the other night, too. I used my URL instead of my email. And I think that's it. And you can find me on Facebook. I'm on there somewhere.
It is a professional page. You can, if you search for, I think your professional page is also like...
The Motto Guy.
It's the Motto Guy, just facebook.com/TheMottoGuy, and Robert will come up.
Yeah, I make it pretty simple.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll forget stuff.
All right. Now do I get to say my signature sign off?
Yes.
Okay. Goodbye, people of the internet.